Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you'd like to turn with me in your bulletins to see the day's announcements. This morning at 9:30, we're going to have morning worship and graduate recognition. Immediately after service, there will be a short business meeting, so please plan to attend that. 10:45 is Sunday school for all ages. We welcome everybody to stay and go to classes for, we've got different classes. Tuesday, 7 to 8:15, ladies' Bible study. It's roll call with a Bible verse with the word remember. Wednesday, 6:30, prayer and Bible study. They're studying Isaiah. Want to say congratulations to all the 2013 graduates. We have Courtney Schwartzel from Pioneer Elementary, Dustin Sparks from Pioneer Elementary, and Brittany Ruff from IBC in Fort Wayne. Ladies, we are beginning a new study to study a new book this Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. in our monthly ladies' Bible study. If you'd like to study the names of God, see Linda for a book today. The cost is $9. Invest just 1 hour and 15 minutes a month and come join our Bible study. Also, VBS, if you want to mark your calendars, is June 10th through the 14th. It's just 4 weeks away. The theme is Investigation Destination. A sign-up sheet is posted in the foyer there for people who'd like to help. We still need, I've seen a couple teachers and some helpers and foods and games, so we do need some people yet. Our deadline's getting really close, so if you'd like to start praying about that, that would be great. Dust off your bicycles and get pedaling to be a part of this year's Baptist Christian Home. It's an 18-mile bike-a-thon on the 10th of August. We had a card from the Baptist Children's Home. They sent a little letter. It says, Dear Pastor Utterback and church family, we wanted to personally express our gratitude for your thoughtfulness and support of the Baptist Christian's Children. I can't say it. Baptist Children's Home here in Elkhart. We were so delighted to receive the wonderful gift cards. We can assure you that your gift will be used in nurturing and care for the children here in Elkhart's home. So many will be blessed. Again, thank you for your generous gift. May God bless you always. And thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. That's Deuteronomy 15:10. This morning's memory verse is Job 37:23. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you've come to be a part, and we enjoyed the graduation breakfast. Thank you to all of you who came this morning and got it ready and prepared the food. It was very well done, as usual, and took some time. And then thank you to those who decorated yesterday. That took some time, too. And we just appreciate the folks that are willing to do those things and do them so well. So thank you very much. On June 9th, that's going to be a fun day. We're going to have baptism in the morning. And then that evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a little going away celebration for Lois. She and Jerry will be moving to Arizona. What's up with that?
That's a good move.
And kids and grandkids. It's hard to compete with that. Anyway, on that evening, from starting at 6, for about an hour, we're just going to let her sing some of her favorite songs to us, and we'll sing some of her favorite hymns. It'll be a good time of fellowship, and then we'll have a dessert fellowship after that, so you can plan what dessert you're going to bring, and we'll just have a really good time, so put that down, please. And then we really want to encourage you to stay for the business meeting. There are two important items, neither one of which will take very long, but especially if you might be involved in VBS or think you would like to, but there's a conflict. We're just going to talk about some things briefly to see if we can maybe work this out so that it works better for everyone or what's going on. So please stay for that, and it's right after the service, so it won't take much time. Okay? You can see the other things that are going on, so just pay attention to all the things the Lord is providing. Thank you for coming to worship. Let's bow in prayer now and ask the Lord to minister to us. Let's bow in prayer together. Eternal God, our great heavenly Father, what a great day it will be. We stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heaven and crown him Lord of all. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We are thankful this morning to be called the children of God and to gather in worship as a family in Christ. Thank you, Father, for your great love and mercy to us, for your salvation. Thank you for your provision in this past week. We have come this morning needing to hear from you. So we would ask that you would minister to us in such a way that in this time of preparation, our hearts would be made ready. We would ask that there would be nothing between you and us that might keep you from ministering to us. Father, teach us from your word today. Thank you for these tithes and offerings given to be used in the furtherance of the kingdom of God here on earth. We love you, Father, and we lift our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's stand, please, for the reading of the scripture this morning. And you want to turn to Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. Okay, I'm going to read verses 14 through 24. Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised, those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge? You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hushed under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies, hard as a mirror of cast bronze? Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot draw up our case. Because of our darkness, should we be told that I want to speak? Would any man ask to be swallowed up? Now no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies, after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, men, revere him, for does he not have regard for all those, for all the wise in heart? May the Lord add blessing to the reading of the word.
Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for all the blessings that are ours. And we thank you for this time when we can sit still before you and allow you to speak to our hearts. We thank you because you desire to teach us, because you desire to conform us to the image of Christ. Thank you that you have forgiven all our sins and have promised never to use them against us again. Thank you that we have been washed in the blood and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Thank you for the promise of eternity in the very presence of our Lord and Savior, the God who saved us. We thank you because you have ministered to us in so many ways in these past days. And Father, we have come now to meet with you, for you to minister to us, and we pray that you will encourage us where that is necessary. We pray that you will correct us where that is necessary. We pray, our Father, that you will help us be drawn closer to you this morning by understanding just a little bit more about you. And we would ask our Heavenly Father that you would continue to watch over those of our number who are carrying burdens. You know them perfectly. And we pray for those who are in troubled waters, those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, those who are in darkness and are struggling. And we pray, our Father, that you would speak to their hearts. We pray that the peace of God that passes understanding would draw them to the Word, would draw them out of the darkness into the light. We pray that you would bring comfort where it is necessary. We thank you for the great blessing of knowing that all things work together for the good of those who love you. And our Father, this morning we pray for our country. We pray for our president and our leaders. We ask that in your great sovereignty and in your great ministry, that you would put people in front of our leaders, federal, state, local leaders, that could draw them to Christ. Oh God, what a blessing it would be to see our leadership come to Christ and give their heart to you. You are a God of miracles. We would ask you just to perform that miracle. We pray, our Father, that you would watch over those of our country who are in harm's way today, serving here and abroad. We ask that you would just watch over them, deliver them safely home. We pray, our Father, for our country, that she would become aware of her sin, and that she would repent, confess her sin, and pray to you and seek you with all her heart, that you might be able to stay the judgment, stay the punishment. God, help us to be true to our calling. As we look into this portion of your word this morning, we pray that you will teach us in a new and vibrant way. Draw us to yourself. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all things, lifting our prayers to you in Jesus' mighty saving name. Amen. Amen. On a day when we're honoring our graduates, it's interesting that we are talking about an all-knowing God, a God with whom there is nothing unknown. In this last passage, or this passage that we read this morning, it is the end of Elihu's last speech. It almost seems as though he is preparing Job for what God is going to say very shortly. And if you want to get to know God in a very deep and vibrant way, if you'd like to read something specific out of the Scriptures that just deal with God and His knowledge and His power and His wisdom and all that, then you can start at Job 14 and read clear through to the end of the book. Because from here on out, it's all about God. Some amazing things. And God used this part of His word to teach us rich things about Himself. If you read this, let me just encourage you not to read it on the run. I encourage you to listen to Scripture on your way to work or on the way home, if you have that kind of app or you can do that. It's a good thing to do. It'll help prepare you, and on your way home, it'll help you get ready to be home, kind of help relax you. But beloved, when you come to portions of Scripture like this, save this for your quiet time. Read this in an attitude of reverence and awe. Do as David did in be still before God and know that it's Him who is speaking. You see, this attribute of God, His omniscience, can invoke either a negative or a positive response depending on your personal attitude and walk with the Lord. It can either be a great comfort or it can be a great bother to you. When we talk about God being all-knowing or omniscient, we mean that God fully knows Himself in all things, actual and possible, in one simple act. We're going to talk about that. It means that there's nothing unknown to God, past, present, or future. It means that everything about Him is fully known all the time. There are no secrets where God is concerned. Nothing is ever unknown to Him, okay? Even those things that haven't happened yet. That's kind of a big statement. So let's bring that down and chew on it a little bit. I'm trying to look. Have most of you got that? God knows himself. At first thought, that sounds like a duh statement, but it is actually quite impressive because remember, God is infinite in his being. For you and I, that's infinite backwards and infinite forward and every other direction. Back in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, Paul gives us a little bit of insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. God is an amazing being. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, John says, there is no darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is also no place within God where he doesn't know himself perfectly. Because this is true, God will never contradict himself. He will never double-cross himself or violate himself or his word or his law or his will. You've heard me say he's always consistent in every way. That's because he knows himself perfectly. Why is that important? How does that play in on a daily basis to you, where you are? Well, it's kind of neat because it means he'll never double-cross you. He'll never violate you. He'll never contradict himself where you're concerned. God doesn't mess around with you. He's always straightforward. What does that mean? It means you can always trust God in every way. Could I suggest this to you? Those of you that are struggling in some part of your life, and you say, I feel good about giving this part of my life to God. I want God to have this, and perhaps that's a great part of your life. But I think in reality, if we're truthful, all of us struggle in some part of our life, right? And saying, here, God, you take it lock, stock, and barrel. You take the whole thing, and no matter what, it's okay with me. Do you have any part of you that goes there once in a while? You say, I'd really like to, but I don't know. If you'll remember this right here, it'll help. See, God can't contradict himself because that's true. He can't contradict you. He can't double cross you or do any of that stuff. So therefore, you are free to trust him completely in all things at all times. It's very important for you and I to know that God has full knowledge of himself, because that's where it begins. You and I have dark places in our lives. And if we're very careful and we sit down with a pencil and paper and we begin to analyze issues, problems, whatever, We'll find that they're in areas where we don't understand ourselves. We'll find that they're in areas where we don't trust God fully. We know it's okay for him to be God. We know it's okay for him to run the universe. But that one part of our life, not so sure. And we're not so, it's not that that bothers us necessarily. What it is we fear what God may ask us to do or to give up or to start doing or to change. So it's important that you understand this. God also knows all things actual or all things that are real. I've given you several verses on your outline. Hebrews 4:13 says that all things are laid bare and open before God. There isn't anything in all of creation that's hidden. That tells us that God sees all things that exist and all things that happen. That's why I say there are no secrets with God. God's aware of all that is. I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute. Not only does God know all things that happen and all things that exist, God knows the future as well as he knows the past. God knows what's going to happen in eternity future just as clearly as you and I know what has happened in our lives this morning. And all the events, and what happened in the pre-eternity councils of God is just as clear in God's mind now as what you and I have done this morning is clear to us. You remember what you were doing 2 years ago? God does perfectly, down to the last detail. He remembers your thoughts and your motives and your intents. He remembers everything that happened. Because God is aware of those, he knows every event, every little event and part of our lives. When you begin to think about it, it's kind of scary, isn't it? When you let things like this get to you, when you let things like this soak in, you begin to understand why David says, "Where can I go that you are not?" I can't go up, down. I can't hide myself. There isn't anything that I can do to be out of the sight and the presence of God. David says in Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, that he knows our actions and our thoughts. He says in verse 4, he knows our words before we speak them. In verse 16, he says, "You know how many days I have on earth. You knew that before any of them came to pass. Before I was born, you knew how long I'd be here." So what? Beloved, listen. That part's the theology. That part is truth. That part is important to you and I, because when we come to things where God tells us, "Do not depart from my word, my law, my will. Do not do it. Don't be distracted to the right or to the left. Don't intermingle with the things of the world." When God tells us to walk worthy of the vocation to which you have been called, when he tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, because that's our reasonable service, when God tells us through his inspired written word, imitate God, it's because of all this. That's why such knowledge is important. We cannot understand, we cannot think of God as being far off from us somewhere who sees the same way we see, maybe missing something. The greatest fallacy that we have is to think God does not know what goes on in our heart, that we can connive and plan and deceive, that we can do whatever we want and it's our own business. No, it's not. It's God's. God knows, and God keeps perfect records. God sees you with your hand in the cookie jar, and He knows whether it's okay for your hand to be in there or not. It is the living Word of God that penetrates to the very motives and intents of the heart. Now see, beloved, listen. In whatever days we have remaining as free as the way things used to be, the way they are now, where we can gather freely, the way we can talk however we want to, we are to be incredibly aware of this kind of thing. Why? Well, in most cases, we're the book people are reading. And you have to ask yourself, around those people in my sphere, what version of Scripture did they read today? Do you know why this is important? Because little eyes are looking up at us all the time. And we men are teaching our sons what a man who uses the word Christian is. When we say to our children, I am a Christian, we are teaching them 24/7 what Christian manhood is like. We are teaching our sons and our grandsons how men who call themselves men of God treat their wives. We're teaching them. We are teaching them how to love as God tells us to love in 1 Corinthians 13 and scads of other places. We are teaching our daughters, this is the kind of man you look for in a husband. Is it okay with you if your daughter marries a man just like you? Think about that. That's why this stuff is important. Because you see, God's got it all. And God has planned a perfect plan. And you and I need to come to grips with this idea. Beloved, listen. The remnant is getting smaller every day. How do I know that? I read 2 Timothy 4. I know that there are people who use the name Christian whose itching ears are leaving sound doctrine and turning to whatever it is they want to hear. And as time progresses, people who call themselves fundamental conservatives are going to fall away. Why? They don't want what's coming. They don't want what's going to be required. Does God know that? Yes. And so, see, when people make changes, like going from elementary to junior high, where it's the same kids, they've been with them all their life, a whole new set of rules. When our young people leave high school and go to college, we know all about that, don't we? See, God knows what they're in for. And the other thing about that is, God knows, listen to me, God knows how you have or are preparing them for the godless world into which they're going to go. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, Pastor, that's sound theology. Then let me ask you this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is that your way of life? Do you live every minute of every day with the knowledge right here that you're living it in front of the eyes of God? Every thought. See, those are the things that we're going to give account for. Why is it important that we know that? Because it is an awesome reminder to us that if I say, I am an adopted child of God, I am representing that reputation to a lost and dying world. And there's enough hypocrisy in the world. God knows the real us. And God sees our lives inside out. He knows what we don't show people. And He knows why we don't show them. See, listen, other people, as long as you live, may never hear your excuses. Oh, excuse me, reasons. Your excuses. People may never understand. People, you know, you can fool them, but people aren't going to judge you either. They're not the one going to give you your rewards. God is. And He knows everything perfectly. Now, listen, on the positive side, to those of you who are walking, to those of you who do get it, all this stuff applies. God knows and hears all those secret prayers. God has kept a record of all those times of prayer you've prayed in the most unusual situations. God is aware of what you pray for. God is aware of your secret ministry. God knows what you've done that only you and Him know about. God cares. God is aware of your desire to learn. God sees you reading the Word. God hears you praying. God knows your struggle when you memorize, and He honors it. It warms His heart. It is not for nothing. We may miss it. We may forget to say thank you. We may not understand how the blessing came about, but God does. And beloved, to just say to God, here am I. Take me and do with as you will, is one of the most exciting things you can ever do. Ask somebody. Ask somebody that you believe lives like that. The evidence is in their life. God knows everything about the whole world. He's knowledgeable of all the corruption in the government. He's knowledgeable of where you and I are hearing lies all the time. He knows what's going on in North Korea. He knows what's going on in the White House. He knows what's going on in Cass County. He knows what's going on in every government of the world. To you and I, that's a mess. To you and I, that's scary. To you and I, it's just a jumble. But to God, it is His perfect plan being worked out before our eyes. It is what He has ordained. God knows He's being shoved out, but He also knows how He's going to come back in. God knows the things that are real, and whether we know them or not, He does. And it's that gives us cause to say, my life had better match the book. God not only knows all things actual, He knows all things possible. To me personally, this is one of the most amazing truths about God. He knows all things possible. This is one of those things I think that David understood when he said in Psalm 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. It is too high. What David is saying is this. He's saying, not only I don't get it, he's saying I can't get it. It's too big. It's too wonderful for me. God knows every possible combination of every possible choice that could be made. He knows every possible combination of everything he could have created but didn't. To you and I, that's important because God knows all those things possible or that could have happened and didn't. And it means that he knows all the choices you've made. Negatively, that means this. God is fully aware of every opportunity that he's brought to you, either to be saved, to come into the family, and beyond that, to follow his will, to do as he said. He's aware of every opportunity you've ever had and said no. On the flip side of that, he's fully aware of every time you've said yes. And may I just suggest this to you? He knows every possible result of every prompting of the Holy Spirit. And may I just suggest this to you? Did you hear that, or was that just me? Was that from heaven? It got us, so I had to say it. Beloved, people say, how do you know when God is leading you to do something? You read his word, but how do you know if God wants you to be about something in your daily life? Sometimes we call them premonitions. Sometimes we call them gut feelings. Sometimes we call them, you know, desire or wishful thinking. God speaks to us that way. But the question is always, how do I know if this is God or Satan? There's a whole sermon there. But one easy way is to ask yourself this. When it's all said and done, when it's accomplished out here, is there anything about it that would offend God in any way? Or can I say at the end of this, when it's all done, to God be the glory, great things he has done. This is his handiwork. If the answer is yes, pretty good indication. If it's, I'm not real sure, don't do anything yet. And then, along the way, you can ask yourself this question. To get over here, at any point, for 1 second, would I have to think anything that contradicts the nature and character of God or his word, his law, his will, his desire? Is there anything anywhere that runs contrary to the truth of God? If the answer comes up, yes, maybe, or it could be, it is not of God. You see, beloved, listen, it is because of everything I've told you. God knows himself perfectly. God knows all things actual, real. God knows all things possible, that he can never be the author of confusion. He has perfect knowledge of everything all the time. That means, pardon me, that means today he's not going to ask you to do something that's going to confuse you tomorrow. James says there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Because of everything that I'm telling you, God always leads you consistently. God always leads you truthfully, honestly. And listen carefully. God always ministers in your life all the time, even in the rebuking or correcting part, so that your response to His leadership brings to you the highest possible benefit. Amen? Listen, please. That is not just something to waste time on Sunday morning. That's the way God works. Well, Pastor, my life is full of stuff. Well, of course it is. God never promises we're not going to have it easy, or we are going to have it easy. Those are mountaintop experiences. And it's like the song says, that God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. And if you're in the valley, you rest assured. God has presented Himself to you, and He is a God who knows you perfectly and knows exactly when, where, how, and why to lead you to the best possible solution. Listen to me. If you can't get into that, if you can't find encouragement in that, if you can't find a reason to get into the Word and dig, I feel bad for you. Because that is not too high and lofty. That may seem grand, and it is. That's the way God works. Paul said when he sent Christ, how can God, who has not withheld anything but has already given us all things that we might be saved, withhold from us, Utterback translation, anything that we need to lead us in our daily walk. Some of you are struggling needlessly. Some of you are struggling because you believe it, but you don't believe it. How do I know if these things are from Him? Know the book. Know the book. If you know the book, you'll know the God of the book. When I talk to people who are in crisis situation, when I talk to people who come to me and say, I'm just about ready to walk out the Christian door. First of all, I wonder about their salvation in the first place. I know they don't understand it. But my first question is always, share with me before we get into that, share with me where you're studying. What are you reading in your daily quiet time? Well, I'm, and whatever the excuse is, there's your answer. If you want to know God, read His book. Let me tell you one last thing. God knows everything in one simple act. That sounds harder than it is. In Psalm 147 and verse 4, David says, you know the number of stars. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus says, God knows you even to the numbering of hairs on your head. Now, the word simple means this. It means it cannot be divided into parts. So God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all simple beings, meaning they can't be divided. God knows all that He knows at once. God does not have to count the number of grains of sand on the beach in all the world. He knows. God does not have to count the stars. He knows not only the number, but the names of all of them. God knows instantly the number of cattle on 1,000 hills. God does not have to stop and recount how many times He's offered you benefit. He knows. He knows now how many are in your future. That's another reason God cannot mess you over. He has not forgotten what He did yesterday so that He confuses you with something else today. Will he repeat it today if you ignored it yesterday? Yes. Could it be a little tougher today? Yes. God is persistent. You got to give him that. So, God sees everything together. And when you and I come to that, it brings us back to David's statement, "What is man that you're mindful of him?" Man is God's crowning glory to all of creation. Man is the only created being with whom God desires the intimate fellowship that he has and wants with us. Because God knows all there is to know all the time, you can put your life and everything about it in his hands, under his control. And when you do that, you can lay your head on your pillow at night and go to sleep in absolute peace that you are on the right course. It means you cannot be overwhelmed without a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It means that God cannot lead you in circles. God cannot mess with you. God will not experiment on you. God is for you. God has designed an intimately personal plan for you to be conformed to the image of his perfect Son. For a Christian to put their entire life in the unconditional oversight of an all-knowing God is the only possible way to walk in absolute assurance that all things will work together for good so that you will be able to do all those works God planned in advance for you to do. Amen? Amen. Our Father, thank you for this truth from your word. As David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for us. We just can't get all of it. But the part we can get, understanding that you are a God who wants us, in our terms, to be successful, who wants us to overcome the ungodliness and the evil that is all around us, that you are a God because of your knowledge who knows exactly how to minister to us, we find most comforting. And so we pray, our Father, that you will speak to our hearts in such a way to help us use this truth about you, to follow you without question. May it be in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.